Call the meeting to order. This is State Government Finance Committee meeting for Wednesday, April 27th, 2011. And I believe we have a quorum, so would someone care to move the minutes?
Chairman, I move the approval of the minutes.
Representative Benson moves approval of the minutes. Any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Minutes are approved. We are waiting for some material to be brought in on House File 1036. Representative Sanders is not yet here, and we're waiting for some material. And so, members, what we're going to be doing with several of the bills, House File 2, 384, 1024, 1063, and 886, I should say, is all of those bills were in our omnibus bill that we passed. And we are going to pass these out individually and on to the Ways and Means Committee as standalone bills, in addition to having their be in the omnibus bill. And I'm going to call on Mr. Shepherd to explain handout and what the these bills are including. Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, members, in your packet is a document that looks like this that I prepared. That what I tried to do in every case was to summarize for you today what action you took when you heard the bill the first time before it was laid over for possible inclusion. And so I have, in each case, copied Ms. O'Neill's excellent minutes on these into the document, which helped me to remember what happened. And then what I also did in for some of these bills, after you heard the bill and laid it over for possible inclusion, in the process of dealing with the omnibus bill, you adopted something a little bit different. And so when the omnibus bill differs from the standalone bill, I've included in your packet for each of these an amendment that would make the language identical. So for Representative Murray's bill, the language, there's an amendment that'll make his standalone 1063 identical to the way the bill is in the omnibus bill, including House floor amendments and things. Same with Representative Banyan's bill. And as you do each bill, I can try to walk through and explain. And if someone thinks I've missed something, which is totally possible, then we can try to correct it.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Shepherd before we proceed down the list? If not, why don't we start going down the list? Representative Banyan, do you want to move House File 2?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'll move House File 2 to be passed by this committee and referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
And there's an amendment on House File 2.
Yes, and there are two, and I'm going to need some help with this from Mr. Shepherd, because there are two in our packet, and I need, and I'm pretty sure it's the A6 that we need to move to make the language identical. I'm not clear if the A, something tells me the A5 was done once, but I can't remember if it was in the omnibus or in this. So I would ask, I'll tell you what, I'll move the A6 first, just for clarity, and then get some advice on the A5.
Okay, Representative Banyan moves the A6 amendment. Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, just to clarify, if you'll note in this summary document, the minutes from when you considered House File 2 last time indicate that the A5 was previously adopted by the committee.
Very good.
So that's here just for your information.
Thank you.
And the A6 actually amends the A5.
Okay.
It's drafted to the A5. And that would put the bill in the language identical to what is in the omnibus bill in conference committee.
That's how I would like it, Mr. Chairman. So, okay. So Ms. O'Neill would stone out. Thank you.
Okay, so the A6 amendment is before you. This makes the bill, House File 2, identical to what we passed out in the omnibus bill. All in favor of the A6 amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Anderson.
A5 first.
No, it's already been, I understand it to be already adopted.
That's already been done?
Yes, it was just explained that that has already been done.
Oh, okay.
So all in favor of the A6 amendment, which puts the bill in identical form as to what we passed out earlier, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. The A6 amendment is adopted. Any other question about House File 2? As amended, if not, all in favor of recommending to pass House File 2 as amended and be re-referred to Ways and Means, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. House File 2 moves on to Ways and Means. The second bill is House File 384. And Representative Detmer will delay on that. He's being tied up in another committee right now. Representative Stensrud, House File 1024. Would you move House File 1024?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move House File 1024. Be referred to Ways and Means. And
okay, and there is an amendment here, Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, you'll note in the summary memo that at the March 14th meeting, the committee adopted the A1 amendment previously, and so that is in your packet just for information to show what you adopted already. It does not need to be readopted, and there are no other amendments needed to make the bill identical to how it appears in the omnibus bill.
Okay, so the version of House File 1024 that's before you is identical to what was in our omnibus bill. Further question? All in favor of the motion to recommend that House File 1024 be passed and be referred to Ways and Means, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. 1024 is moved to Ways and Means. Representative Murray.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House File 1063 be recommended to pass and be sent to the Ways and Means Committee. And there's also an A2 amendment on 1063.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, the summary memo indicates that there was an amendment adopted at the March 17th meeting of the committee. That is the A1 that is reflected in your folder. There were then, as the committee put this bill together for the omnibus bill, there was considerable discussion. There were a number of amendments when the chair's draft of the omnibus was reviewed, and the bill was further amended on the House floor. So the A2 amendment reflects all of that. And in order to make it easier for you to read, I've just deleted a whole paragraph of language and inserted it all put together in one paragraph. And this, if the A2 would make the bill identical to the form the bill is in the omnibus bill.
So, Representative Murray, you move the A2 amendment?
I will, Mr. Chairman.
The A2 amendment puts the bill in identical form to what we passed out earlier in the omnibus bill. All in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. The A2 amendment is adopted. So now we have House File 1063 as amended, and it's identical to what was in the omnibus bill. Representative Kahn.
I'm not sure, in looking at the fiscal note, I'm not sure, for example, when all of the people, you know, the state auditor has this complicated kind of funding, so this, by letting the counties do it, we save absolutely no money, and you then have the cost of releasing the auditors that won't be, we will have to pay all of the severance benefits and something for the auditors that won't be used by the state benefit, by the state auditor. How is that being paid for?
Question for Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, the fiscal note, the numbers on the front page of the fiscal note are at the top end of the range. If you look at the narrative on page 2, and under the assumptions, it says it's extremely difficult to determine the fiscal impact of House File 1063. And there is a range of costs of potential impact, ranging from $26,000 to the front page of the fiscal note showing an impact of $2.8 million for the biennium. We received this fiscal note after our omnibus bill was passed out of committee, so there isn't an assumption in that bill to cover those costs. As far as layoff costs, I think the practice in the past has been to have agencies absorb that, but that would be up to the committee to decide.
Well,
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, the layoff, you know, this is the audit function is about, as I recall, and I hate to say things without the accurate piece of paper in front of me, is about 60% of the state auditor's budget. The state auditor has a very little general fund budget. So is the general, if we're eliminating the audit fund, and these people have been hired from the audit fund, is the general fund then supposed to pick up the cost of a layoff of about 60%, which is pretty high, for I don't remember any time in the future when we've said that agencies could absorb that kind of layoff, that kind of cost. So is that what we're looking at with this bill?
Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, members, the funding for the state auditor does come from a general fund appropriation. The activities of the audit practice division are then reimbursed or recovered, and those reimbursements go into the general fund. So the source of funding would have to be the general fund, since that is the funding for this office.
Ms. Roberts, will there need to be an updated fiscal note on this bill?
Well, Mr. Chair, this does reflect the language that was passed by the committee, I believe. I'll double-check that. Your bill, your omnibus bill, does provide an appropriation to the state auditor's office, mm-hmm. so that funding would be available to pay any okay. layoff
but
costs.
Except
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, and I can be corrected by someone who has more accurate numbers, then the audit practice is about 60% of the state auditor's office. And the general fund part, which covers a very small function of what the state auditor does, which is what's left once you've canceled the audit practice fund, is a very, very much more smaller amount. This is very unusual. And as I explained, we at one point it used to be not reimbursed from the not an appropriation from the general fund that was reimbursed. And the legislature felt we needed more control over that when former Governor Arne Carlson was doing things like using the audit practice fund to refurbish his offices and you know, move to new things and so forth. And we thought that we wanted to have that this idea of then, instead of having it just be something that was totally out of control with the state auditor billing for audit practices and that going into a separate fund outside of the general fund, we put it into this general fund and reimbursement, but it's not really like the ordinary general fund appropriation to a department, you know, considering particularly the past history of how this fund is administrated. So it's just you know, it's totally irresponsible to cancel it and then assume that it can be covered by the small amount of general fund money that's left in the state auditor's office. It's not usually, when we're looking at layoffs, we're looking at 5%, maybe 10% or something. This is a layoff that's equivalent to about 60%, and I just don't understand. You know, I haven't done this. I guess the author or the chair of the committee ought to explain how this is going to be done.
Representative Murray.
Mr. Chair, this bill is about mandate relief. This is about giving counties control over their finances and allowing a small county like Rock County out in western Minnesota, who's paying $75,000 or $80,000 a year for their audit, to go out and pay a reasonable amount for an audit. That's what this bill is about. I don't think of the 58 or 59 counties that we still have that we're auditing that they're all going to run out the door at the end of the year here. I've talked to a number of counties that are perfectly happy with the auditor, and they'll stay there. We've also put in the bill where the counties have to give notice. So it's not like they can leave at any given time. It has to be by January, the year they're going to leave, that they have to give this notice. So I think we have some of those safeguards in place to make this work. But this bill is about mandate relief. These counties are paying a lot of money to do these audits. I'm not sure what the exact numbers are either. I will be happy to get those on the representative confer, what the auditor's office, what part this makes up, and I'd be happy to share those with the committee tomorrow.
Well,
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, there could be a responsible, this bill could be drafted in a responsible form. It could be negotiated in advance of the fiscal year, and you could then make your decision at that point. Like, we could know, you say you've privately talked to counties. We could get those numbers. We could have the counties that want to go out, and we could adjust that then appropriately. You know, I've served on this committee for just about 38 years, and I think this is the most fiscally irresponsible bill I have ever seen come before this committee. I have never seen anything that is based so much on unproven assumptions and that are just such an outrageous use of the legislative process and the inability to understand the fiscal affairs of one of the parts of our department. So, you know, I know you have the votes to pass it, so just go ahead and do it. But it's, you know, as I said, I just can't say, there's nothing worse I can say about it.
Well, Representative Kahn, with all due respect, I think we're just going to have to simply agree to disagree on this matter. And as Representative Murray said, this is giving counties who choose to have an alternative means of doing an audit that opportunity to do so. My own county is going to stick with the county auditor, as I'm sure many other counties, as Representative Murray pointed out, will be doing. And to assume that all of a sudden all kinds of auditors with the state auditor's department are going to be out of a job, I think, is not a valid assumption. And but for those counties that feel that they have an opportunity to save some money by doing it with a private local auditor, they're being given the opportunity to do so. And so, as I said, with all due respects, we just have a basic disagreement about this principles of this bill.
Well, Mr.
Representative Kahn,
as I've said, it's perfectly fine to disagree on principles. It is not fine to disagree on the method, on the issues of arithmetic. And as I've said, there is a responsible way of doing this bill. You find out who, supposedly, it shouldn't just come out of the blue whether they want to do that. One could, the what this could do instead of this is to require a survey in this bill of the number of counties that wish to get out, set up an easier process, have them negotiate with the county, with the state auditor, how their audits are going to be done and how that, well, as we've said, we've already had certain number, whatever the number is, 39, 31 or something, counties that are already free using audits different than the state auditor system. And it's been an acceptable system. And if that needs to be expanded, if for some reason people think that the state auditor has has made it a mandate that they have to use the state auditor, which doesn't seem likely when we see the number of counties that haven't, then put something in the bill that deals with that. But, you know, as I said, I just can't believe the irresponsibility of this and this just saying, well, I've talked to my county and I've talked to some counties and they're going to be using, keep using the state auditor. That's not the way we ought to do business in this committee. And, well, I won't say anything stronger, I could.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of House File 1063 as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. House File 1063 is moved on to Ways and Means. Representative Detmer is now here. Representative Detmer, our intent here is to repass this as it was originally put in the form in our omnibus bill, and having this go on to Ways and Means. Mr. Shepherd, would you please address House File 384?
Mr. Chair and members, when the committee heard this bill last, it was not amended, and the current version of the bill has the same language passed by the House in the omnibus bill, so there are no amendments in your packet to this bill.
Representative Anderson, do you want to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to move House File 384 to be recommended to pass and moved on to House to Ways and Means.
Any questions or discussion on this? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Representative Detmer, and it'll be on its way to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Chair. That's the fastest one I've ever done. Thank you.
May there be many more.
Wish you wouldn't say so much then, Paul.
We might as well. I see Representative Sanders is here. Why don't we, out of deference to him, move back to House File 1036. And I will move House File 1036. Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that. House File 1036 is a bill that we hope encourages optimum efficiency in economy and agency vehicle fleet management. What this bill does is it requires that the commissioner reduce the number of state-owned vehicles by 15% from the number today by June 30th, 2015. Aside from that, we use a lot of permissive language in empowering the commissioner to decide the best way to do that. We allow the commissioner to establish a process in and of that for consolidation. If the commissioner believes that the department or the process they establish is better than going to an outside vendor, then that's the direction I believe they should go. They believe that privatizing certain aspects are the most economical and beneficial. I believe that is a way that they should go as well. But we really want the commissioner to have the power and the ability to make the correct decision. This bill does not include public safety vehicles, just so everyone is aware of that. Other than that, I guess I'll stand for any questions that you may have. I do believe that a fiscal note was prepared and is available for the committee members as well.
Questions for the author? Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Sanders. Thanks for the bill. I think we had a really good discussion in the last committee. I think you'll agree. And there was a fair amount of consensus about streamlining and figuring out how many vehicles we have and seeing if there are savings available. If you recall, one thing that you said you'd give some thought to, I think, between the committees was whether the 15% number was the right number. And the reason I think it has... that has a lot of importance now is my understanding of the fiscal note is because you're not necessarily going to have less travel by state employees. Well, we don't know that for sure, but not necessarily. There may be extra costs incurred in leasing or renting vehicles if we don't own them. So that's why I think it's even more important to know. And if you see on the fiscal note, it shows some savings in the next biennium, but then in the one after that, it actually shows some costs. And my understanding is that it's for the reason that I just said. So have you given any thought since the last committee about whether 15% is the right number and how we get to the right balance?
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have thought more about that 15% number. We still have not reached a different number. The department has not contacted us as far as reducing that number to another specific number. We are still open to that. I think a lot of the costs that are derived come from the Minsku consolidation in the fiscal note anyway. Excuse me. Some of those assumptions I think still need to be worked through on the fiscal note. And I'm still working and talking with Minsky. We've spoken a few times as well. But the fiscal note assumes that their fleet is right-sized, but it also notes that they don't have a centralized fleet management program. So I think there's a little bit of uncertainty in that assumption. And then they also assume that because it is right-sized for the fiscal note, that they would have to, as you said, refill those reductions. And then leasing, which I think is kind of an astronomical number, is over $52,000 a year to lease an Impala for 5 years. I think the important thing to note is, as well, and perhaps even regarding the fiscal note, is the consolidation happens statewide, and it happens, at least under the current form of this bill, at the discretion of the commissioner. If Minsky or any of these other departments or agencies are right-sized, then they do not need any reductions done, and they can move to other places. But you see kind of even throughout the fiscal note, there's a lot of assumptions, and we also see that there aren't a lot of fleet management programs. The fiscal note also assumes for Minsky that because they don't have a fleet management program, that they'd have to hire, I believe they said, 5 full-time employees to do such a thing. But this bill already enables the commissioner to establish another authority or use the department to do that as well. So we're still working through the fiscal note. I'm still open to if someone has a precise number that is a better number in discussing it, discussing those numbers. Like I said, we are still discussing things with Minsky as well. And I believe this is moving to transportation finance next. So still an ongoing discussion, but haven't arrived at a different precise number, Representative Simon.
Representative Simon.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up, and again, kind of a replay of the last committee. We had some testimony there from MnDOT. They had some concerns with the bill. Obviously, I think, if I remember, there were 3 agencies that had the vast majority of the vehicles in the state, one of which was MnDOT. And I think it was something like 1,500 vehicles would be subject to the bill. I think their worry, if I remember correctly, was that they want to make sure that, obviously that their agency priorities were taken into account and that it wasn't just a pro rata 15% across the board. I realize you're giving, there's permissive language in here to give people some flexibility and authority, but have you given any more thought as to how, if we were to do a 15% cut or any cut, 15%, 11%, 17%, whatever, how you'd make sure that an agency like MnDOT would not just get a pro rata automatic reduction of that percentage when maybe the reduction should fall elsewhere?
Representative Sanders.
thank you, Mr. Chair. The answer to that, in the way that I would like to see it done, is giving the commissioner that full authority. If under this bill, and it's my intention that the commissioner has that full authority to make those decisions. So if MnDOT does not need the largest reduction or largest percentage reduction, then they can move on. Again, one of the things that I think is important is that 1.21 and 1.22, is that we conduct an inventory through that. It's still tough to get, even through the fiscal note here, exact numbers on what we have, what direction we need to go. So if by the time this bill, if it were to make it to the House floor, whatever number that the department can live with as far as consolidation and optimum efficiency and economy, my intention is that the commissioner has the authority to make the best decision since the commissioner is the one that is responsible.
Representative Simon.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chair, this is for you and the author, I guess. I'm wondering just about the path of the bill because, and I forgot what the motion was here, whether it was to go to Ways and Means or elsewhere.
Representative Simon, it needs to go to Transportation Finance.
That was my question. Thanks.
Further questions or discussion? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard either for or against this bill? Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a clarifying question following up on some of the things that Representative Simon asked. Do I understand? I understand there's the flexibility that if a department doesn't, you know, if it's optimized and doesn't have 15% to cut, logically, they don't need to. But does that mean that then the neighboring department may need to cut 30% in order to figure out how overall 15% is cut?
Representative Sanders.
Mr. Chair, again, it would be up to the commissioner how that would be done. So we are asking for a 15% consolidation over 4 years. And so across all the agencies, every vehicle that the state owns, it's 15% of that as of the number of vehicles that we own July 1st, 2011. So over those next 4 years, from that number of vehicles that we own on July 1st of this year, it would be a 15% reduction of that entire number. So it's not a 15% reduction in each agency or each department. It is across the entire pool that the state owns.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. However, we've heard that at least the Department of Transportation, which I would guess has the biggest fleet, has done a lot in this direction, in which case other departments would probably, one might suspect, need to absorb the change.
Representative Sanders?
Mr. Chair, again, it would be up to the commissioner, and so the consolidation would have to take place, and it would be in areas where there is right sizing that needs to be done.
Representative Green.
I guess I just want to highlight it doesn't feel like right sizing. It feels like 15%, and you're going to take 15% and figure out how to do it. And I think that's, we talked about this in the last committee, that's my concern with the 15%. It just feels blunt.
Sounds wonderful. I'm going to use light rail.
Seeing no further discussion, I will renew the motion that House File 1063 be recommended to pass and re-refer to Transportation Finance. All in favor of...
1036.
What did I say?
1063.
I'm sorry, 1036. I'm sorry. House File
1036.
Oh, I see on this...
Yeah, 1063.
Okay. Got too many numbers here. 1036 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Transportation Finance. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion carried. Thank you, Representative Sanders. We will now move back to the one last bill. Which is the gambling, compulsive gambling support bill, House File 886. I will move that bill be recommended to pass and re-referred to Ways and Means. Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair and members, there is an amendment, A1, in your packets to 886 that would put the bill in the same language as it is in the omnibus bill. The substantive difference is that in the omnibus bill there was a match requirement added, and that didn't appear in the original bill, so the A1 would add that same match requirement. The A1 also contains a technical change on line 1.2 that it was an oral amendment that actually was adopted last time, and I just included it here so that we didn't forget it.
So I would move the A1 amendment to put the bill in identical shape to what passed out of the committee in the omnibus bill. All in favor of the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Now you have 886 as amended before you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. House File 886 is moved to recommended to pass and be re-referred to Ways and Means. We are now down to House File 1309, Representative Kahn. And while she's coming up, Mr. Shepherd, thank you for that excellent work in trying to pull all this together in the right form. Appreciate it very much. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman and members, I don't know what you're intending to do with House File 1309. This is the governor's state government finance bill. We have already discussed all of these agencies in our omnibus bill and made the recommendations, and the committee's recommendations are included in that omnibus bill. I will have to point out that this bill only reflects the appropriations in this bill. So there are some agencies that have appropriations in other governor's bill, and those have not been included. I think it's things like the Historical Society and the Arts Board and so forth. We do have in your packet. You do have a spreadsheet which just for simplicity, as opposed to the ordinary kind of spreadsheet we have. What we've only done is we've compared the governor's recommendations to the House recommendations in Senate File 1047, and in general, I think probably specifically, the House bill cut significantly more than the governor's bill does. This bill isn't required to be balanced, of course, because it's compared. It goes along with the entire governor's budget, which would include the governor's tax bill. I'm not sure. I've asked to have members from the various departments present if you want to answer any questions. Like, whatever you want, Mr. Chairman, I can have Ms. Roberts go over the detailed spreadsheet that we have in the bill. We can stand for questions, or I can just give the general principle that the governor, in just about all cases, the governor's budget cuts less than the House bill does.
Representative Kahn, just for clarification, are all the numbers in line with what the governor's original budget proposal was, plus the supplemental? Are there any differences between the governor's original budget proposal and supplemental, what's in this bill?
As far as I know, not. I might yield to Ms. Roberts if I'm missing anything on this.
Okay. Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, members, this spreadsheet does represent the governor's supplemental budget. I don't believe there are any changes related to any of the agencies that are in House File 1309 that in the supplemental budget. So it's the original or supplemental, however you want to look
at it. Okay. Any questions for Representative Kahn from the committee? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard relative to House File 1309?
Well, I guess...
Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chairman, if we are now going to put this in consideration somewhere in the process, I guess what I should do is move to pass this and pass it on to Ways and Means and call for a roll call vote.
Okay. Anyone who wishes to be heard? If not, Representative Kahn has moved that House File 1309 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Ways and Means, and a roll call has been requested. Call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Banyan.
No.
Benson.
No.
Downey.
No.
Gauthier. Green.
Yes.
Gunther. Hayden.
Yes.
Kahn.
Yes.
Lanning.
No.
Leidiger.
No.
Lilly.
Yes.
Lohmer.
No.
McElfatrick.
No.
Murphy.
Yes.
Murray.
No.
Simon.
Yes.
Slawik.
Yes.
Stensrud.
No.
Erdahl.
No.
Winkler.
Yes.
Scott here just walked in. I don't know if...
We'll accept his vote.
Yes. Well done.
I always do it Norton.
That's nice to know.
There being 9 yes and 11 no's, the motion does not pass and the bill is not adopted. Thank you, Representative Kahn.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wondered, since we did just discuss the governor's budget, if you could update us on the reconciliation process and what's going on with the majority leadership's budget.
Well, we have started the conference committee process on the state government finance bill, but because of the all of the flurry of activity going on this week with policy committees, we're not going to be able to finish the conference committee process until next week. But hopefully we will finish it next week so that it can come back to the floor. And so is that addressing the question you're asking?
Yeah, I guess if you could give us a peek under the tent, if there are any, I guess I'm nervous that I was at tax committee last night, 27 days till we're supposed to be out of here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering about the process. I know there'll be a majority budget, then there'll be discussion. Is there going to be time for discussion?
Time for discussion?
Between the House budget or the legislative body's budget and the governor's budget.
Well, that's a good question, Representative Green. I have to be honest that I'm very disappointed to hear from the administration that they do not want to engage in negotiation or discussion with conference committees. They want the conference committees to do their work, to present it to the governor, and the governor doesn't want to be about the business of negotiating until he has all of the conference committee reports. I don't think that's the best way to go. I would hope that in the conference committee process we would have the opportunity to have discussion with representatives of the administration as to what they like or don't like about our bills, and so that we have some opportunity to address that during the conference committee process. But unfortunately that's not the message we're getting from the administration, and so I guess that serious discussions or negotiations are going to have to wait until all of the conference committees have wrapped up their work and have brought it to the floor of the House and the Senate.
I guess I'd just like to add, I'm new to this process and I don't want to pretend that I know the intimacies of what happened last time around, but we do know what the governor's priorities are, and I'm kind of I'm myself looking to see, okay, what's the total budget going to look like from the GOP? So I think that's why, at the risk of stating the obvious.
Well, we just recently, in the last session, of course, as a Republican governor, and the DFL controlled the House and the Senate, and the governor was very much engaged in the conference committee process, letting conference committees know what they liked or didn't like. And but that's not happening, or at least doesn't appear to going to be happening this time around, which I think will slow the process down, unfortunately slow it down. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess a specific question. Have the conferees received targets yet from House and Senate leadership? Do you know what you're trying to negotiate towards with respect to the legislature?
Representative Winkler, not at this point. Hopefully that will come before very long.
And Mr. Chair, if you, I guess, just indulge one more question. The governor has pretty clearly laid out in letter form at least once, possibly twice, concerns about this committee's omnibus bill, I think both House and Senate versions, in booking money that are not backed up by fiscal notes. And the question is, you don't need to wait for, I guess you don't need to wait for the governor to be clear on this, that he's not going to accept a budget that doesn't actually balance. So the two options are either to ignore that and pass bills anyway, or the second is to correct it. And I guess you're probably waiting on your budget target to figure out what you need to do, but is there any thought about correcting the imbalance in the budget bills before you repass them out of conference?
Well, Representative Winkler, I think the governor's public comments have been less than helpful. I have not been criticizing the governor's budget, and yet the governor has called our bill dishonest, and I think that's very inappropriate. That's not helpful to the process of trying to bring resolution. There are some honest disagreements here over the whole fiscal note process, and I think as members of your caucus have acknowledged publicly over the years, the fiscal note process leaves something to be desired. You know, we've been very frustrated with the whole fiscal note process. Some fiscal notes have had to be redone many times, and they've been based on assumptions that I think are questionable. And I would hope that we could have some meaningful discussion with the administration about this rather than speaking to us through the media. And that's basically what it's been. It's been speaking to us through the media by criticizing state government finance bill and other bills and using language that I think is not very helpful. I have not engaged in that. I don't intend to engage in that. And I would hope that the governor and the administration would soon change the way in which they're going about this.
Well, Mr. Chair, just a final comment. Anytime you have a bill that the fiscal note doesn't come through the way you want it to, it's, of course, always tempting to blame politics for it. And in some cases, that might be true. Sometimes the assumptions might be wrong. The difference is that previously, we've always lived with it. It's not been perfect, but we've lived with it. Or if there's a disagreement, you negotiate it. And in fact, I think the governor hasn't just done this in the media. He sent at least a 3-page letter outlining specific shortcomings in the bill and offered his staff to continue to work with you to correct that. But to disregard fiscal notes is something new. Even disagreement with fiscal notes or unhappiness with fiscal notes is tradition of long standing. What's breaking from tradition and from good financial practice is disregarding the fiscal notes, and I think it is fair to be critical of that.
Well, Representative Winkler, we have not disregarded fiscal notes. We have disagreed with some fiscal notes and the assumptions and the conclusions that have been reached, but we have not disregarded the fiscal note process. And I know that that's the argument that you and others have been making, that's what you made on the House floor, and I expect that we'll continue to hear that. But as I've said many times before, when you're trying to bring about some of the changes that we need in state government, it's very difficult to project what the impacts might be. No matter how good your fiscal note process is, in the end, you're going to have difficulty projecting whether something is going to cost as much as you think it is or save as much as you think it might. And at some point, we're elected by the people of Minnesota to make judgments about what is in the best interest of the state. And, you know, the fiscal note process is advisory. In the end, we have to make those judgments. And that's exactly what we are going to continue to try and do. And I hope that the governor, instead of criticizing all of this, instead would be about the business of trying to talk with us individually about all of these issues as we go through the process. So, any other questions or comments. Representative Slawik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I am glad that Representative Green opened up this discussion. I think it's really important. Now, you remember it was completely flipped before, where we had a Democratic legislature and Governor Pawlenty, and we felt like you did right now. It was very frustrating, and as you probably recall, we passed bills with revenue in them, and they were all vetoed, and we thought that's what should be done, and we stood by that. And I think that this isn't a place where either side gets everything that they want. The suburbanites met with Governor Dayton yesterday. Leon was there and several of us, and he was crystal clear. He wants one bill from the Republican majority. Right now you have the House bill and the Senate bill, and there's all these provisions that are different. Once you get your bills together, you pass them through conference committee, then he knows what the positions are, and then he can open up the negotiations. I think he's taking the right approach. I support the approach that he's doing. And if he was trying to negotiate, you can imagine, and you know, there's thousands of provisions when you take all of the omnibus bills. So if you can get it down to the Senate and House Republicans being on the same page, then the negotiations can start for real. And that is what the governor's waiting for. There's time. The sooner you can pass the bills, the sooner he can start to negotiate with you. If the negotiations can't happen, we know what happens is then there would likely be a veto and starting over. And we did that many, many times. We'd like to get done on time. I think you all would like to get done on time. But the issue, again, is the tax analytics and the bringing in the $99 million, is that going to happen or not, and how that decision is going to be made. So I think, you know, as a former chair and someone who's had to work through this, a lot of times we just had to accept the fiscal notes and we had to do the hard work. And I think the governor's being fair. I think he's being honest. I think his request is very respectful. And he simply wants one bill from each of the areas that we can start negotiations on. It's reasonable. And we need to move ahead. And the sooner you can get these bills done, the sooner the negotiations seriously can start.
Well, Representative Slawik, if you can negotiate some things before we actually pass the conference committee report, we can streamline the process. We can move towards a resolution on this. But if you're going to wait to have no negotiations until all the bills have passed, that's going to slow the process down. So if we want to get done here on time, we're going to have to take a different approach, because this approach is going to, in my opinion, result in more than likely in a requirement of a special session, and I don't think that's anything any of us want. Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess the question comes up as, what is the meaning of negotiations? And I assume the conference committee, as I understand it, has had one meeting to go through the side-by-side, and so you're going to have other... I certainly understand you're not wanting to interfere with the activities that are going on this week. I don't know what's going to happen next week when the second deadline is coming up. But is the for example, have the governor's members of the administration been attending your meetings? Have you invited them to comment on various parts of the bill? Have they got... are you saying that there's no negotiation unless it's in secret in some place that the public is not able to get into? Or is the discussion in the conference committee considered negotiations? And has the governor's office refused to attend the conference committees and meetings and have their staff members comment on the various provisions in the bill? That's my question. Have they been invited? Have they not come? Have they? Have you scheduled public meetings and asked for testimony on the two bills, or what?
Well, Representative Kahn, I've been told by the high-ranking member of the administration that they're not going to engage in any negotiations until all the bills have been passed.
Well, I don't, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, I still don't understand, you know, it's what the word negotiations means. Does it mean they're not going to testify and give their opinions in the conference committee? Does it mean that they're not going to attend the conference committee meetings?
Representative Kahn, we are going to invite members of the administration to appear before the conference committee as we go through and talk about the points that are similar or or the points that are different from, and we're going to invite that. But given what I've been told by the administration, I have my doubts that that's really going to happen, that they instead are taking the position that, that they want the bills to be passed, and then they'll negotiate with us.
Well, you know, again, I think it depends. If you believe that negotiation doesn't occur until you have three people sitting in one room, then maybe then maybe that's true. If you believe that the governor's office should be commenting on bill, they certainly testified before the committee as we were working on passing the bill. I can't believe that they won't speak before. Of course, you know, I'm not an in-person in the administration, so I don't really know. You seem to have better and more complete information than I do. But, you know, until a conference committee is called and people refuse to come, I think to say that they're not willing to negotiate whatever negotiate is means, you know, I'm not sure that that's an accurate statement. But as I said, you seem to have more in-depth knowledge than I do, so very likely, you know, well, you may be right and I'm wrong.
Representative Kahn, we're going to invite them to come forward in conference committee and let us know whatever they want us to know about the bill. And I think I've gotten a very clear message that real negotiations are not going to happen until all of the bills are passed and on the governor's desk, and that's unfortunate, but that's what we're told.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
Let me just try once more. What's your concept of what real negotiations are? That's what I don't understand.
Representative Kahn, it's a matter of sitting down and figuring out where we agree, where we disagree, and trying to forge some compromise and understanding. And that happens to some extent in the conference committee process, but as you well know, having been around here a long time, that at the end of the day, it's the leadership and the House and the Senate and the governor's office that are really going to have to come to some negotiated agreements. Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my understanding is that the governor's made staff and commissioners available to answer questions to conference committees. I think it's inappropriate to attack the governor saying he wants one budget bill. I mean, he submitted a comprehensive budget. I think it's reasonable for him to expect the legislature to send him a budget and see where we can go from there. And we might not like the process, you might not like the process, but that's the way the governor's outlined it, and if we want to get out of here, the majority needs to get their work done.
Well, if there's no further discussion, members, we have some more bills tomorrow, and please, and Friday morning, we're needing to meet on some bills on Friday morning as well at 8:15, so we can finish the work we need to finish by the deadline, which is this coming Friday. With that, members, we stand adjourned.